Former Titans GM Floyd Reese, of course, spent many, many years in New England, too, with the Patriots. Former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders and Jared Stillman. Don't forget to check out their show leading up to kickoff Saturday evening. They will be at Drake's in Cool Springs, brought to you by Tate Ornamental and Midtown Cork Dorks. And it'll be the NFL football Saturday playoff edition from 5 until 7 p.m. Drake's in Cool Springs on Cool Springs Boulevard, 553 Cool Springs Boulevard. Back here on 3D, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick with you. And as promised, we said we would head up to the Northeast, bring in Michael Hawley from WEEI in Boston. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. I'm doing well. How about yourselves?
Well, we were talking earlier, and we were kind of laughing because we've both been doing, you know, going on shows in other markets, more markets up in your neck of the woods where obviously it's more about the Patriots. And I've said kind of the vibe I'm getting is, do you guys even talk about this game down there? I mean, are you even paying attention to it? So what are you guys saying up there?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I'm just going to be real. Don't judge me. Your listeners, don't judge me. I'm just being truthful. I am saying this as impartially as I can. People aren't talking about the game, and we're going to force them today. I go on around 1 o'clock your time. I'm going to force them to talk about the game today because it's the Titans. They're 13.5 point favorites to beat them. But more than that, it's no disrespect to the Titans or anybody else in this position. Just imagine, this is going to be the 35th playoff game for Belichick and Brady. 35 playoff games. I mean, think about that. A season, two seasons, and change worth of playoff games in this run. So what happens is, it happens in the media, and it happens in the fan base, people just get spoiled. You get spoiled is an expectation that you're going to go not just to the AFC Championship game, but you're going to go to the Super Bowl. So that's the byproduct of being successful, and that sounds really terrible, and it sounds obnoxious. I understand it. If you're there in Tennessee, you hear some guy from New England talk about the byproduct of 35 playoff games, but that's what happens.
I was trying to think off the top of my head. The last time they were in this spot and they lost, I believe if memory serves me correct, it was old Rexy with the New York Jets. Is that correct?
Rexy. That's right. Sexy Rexy. Yeah, that beat them in January of 2012. And it was the same thing. Like, well, it's the Jets. They were 14-2 at the time the Patriots were. They had beaten the Jets. They had pounded them about a month earlier on Monday Night Football, so people were looking at the Jets and like, okay, those are our little cousins. Well, they'll come in here, we'll knock them around, and we'll go to the AFC Championship game. But the Jets played well. And to your point, look, that's the kind of game that the Titans will have to play where you don't get intimidated by the whole Gillette Stadium aura. You don't care about Belichick and Brady and the tradition. You just go in there. You have a good, solid running game. You make some stops on third down, and you just hang around to the fourth quarter, and that's how you get a win. But if you can't do that, if you can't run the ball, and if you're going to be intimidated and make silly coaching decisions and turn the ball over, well, it's going to be a mess.
Michael, Dan Shaughnessy, everybody in these parts have all seen what he wrote about the Titans is basically, you know, Cupcake City. What in the world are the Patriots? Do they even have to show up for this? Everybody is aware of that down here. He was on our morning show yesterday, and he said toward the end of the interview that he doesn't believe, even with all that being said, this Patriots team is really that great of a team. It's almost like they're doing this despite, really, I guess, the rest of the conference. Do you agree with that assessment, or where do you stand on that?
Shaughnessy's so miserable. He's just miserable. And for people there in Nashville, okay, I want to tip you guys off to something. What he said about the Titans in January of 2018, he said about the Texans in January of 2017, and, whoever their first-round opponent is, he just says the same thing. Cupcakes, tomato cans, the league's not that good. I mean, he just kind of recycles the same things over and over. And I can say this, I worked with him. I worked at the Globe for 10 years, so I know his playbook pretty well. No, I think the Patriots are good. I think that sounds like you guys probably hear it all the time too. It's like the vintage in my day, dot, dot, dot. You know, people do it in everything. They do it in sports. They do it in music. They do it in movies. Oh, these movies today, these kids today, they watch this. In my day, this was really good. If you're going to look for football to be like it was in 1985 or even 1995, you're just going to frustrate yourself. I mean, the game has changed. The players have changed. It's not going to be what we grew up watching. So if you look at 2018, what's a good team in 2018? It's the Patriots. It's the Steelers. It's the Vikings, the Saints, the Eagles, if they had Carson Wentz healthy. I mean, that's what it is today. They're a good team. They're as good as anybody else in football. I mean, if the Patriots aren't good, who is?
We don't know what you're talking about. Just because we were using Karate Kid references at the beginning of the show, we don't know what in the world you're talking about.
So, I catch myself doing it too. I got to stop my. I'll do it. We all do it. Like, yeah, LeBron James. But I grew up watching Magic and Larry and, you know, Michael Jordan. Okay, we get it. You know, the game, sport evolves. The culture evolves. I get with it.
Michael Hawley on the line with us, WEEI in Boston. So the Seth Wickersham article comes out on ESPN.com. What was the reaction up there?
Oh, what you can imagine from some people, actually, let's be honest, a small minority of people saying, yep, I knew something was going on. I knew something was off about this season, or this Garoppolo trade didn't make sense. But I would say most people looked at it and said, why does he have so many anonymous sources in there? And, you know, who really talked to him and how accurate is this stuff? Now, you set yourself up. I just think as a reporter, you set yourself up for that type of questioning. We don't have anybody on the record. I mean, had nobody on the record, all anonymous sources. So even if your stuff is spot on and you know who your sources are, I mean, we live in a culture now, sports or otherwise, where the news media, I mean, you really got to have it tight to avoid people just dismissing what you have to say. And yeah, so that's the one part of the story. Like, yeah, okay, I'm not sure about that. And so now you set it up. Who do you believe? Do you believe Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, or do you believe the reporter with the anonymous sources? And what makes it even trickier, you know, I work at, I have a night job on TV, so I work with a guy, and he's a Patriots, longtime Patriots beat reporter. Now, think about this. He said, hey, there's a lot of truth in what Seth Wickersham wrote, except for this small detail. I'm reporting that there was no mandate from Kraft. I said, well, wait a minute, Tom. If you're telling me you're reporting that there's no mandate from Kraft, didn't that kind of blow up the bulk of Wickersham's article? Wickersham said, you know, Kraft told Belichick to trade Garoppolo. And as a result, Belichick was furious and demoralized. And as a result of that, he told his friends that this dynamic was no longer sustainable. But if that part's not true, then this thing collapsed. So it's been a very controversial article. It came out last Friday, and we've been talking about it all week. We've been talking about it for a week.
Wow. Doesn't surprise me. Michael Hawley is with us, WEEI in Boston, but a guy that has many talents. He just mentioned does some TV, but also a very good author. He mentioned the Boston Globe, but also has written several books on Belichick and Brady. So, Michael, let me just give you a broad spectrum here. And we've gotten some pretty good insight from Floyd Reese over the years about Bill Belichick. But for people on the outside that don't watch him every day and don't know him nearly as well as you do, what is maybe the biggest misconception about him? What do people not know about him?
You're a great listener. He's a great listener and a really he's got a flexible like spirit about him. And that would just blow you away, right? You're like, he's a listener? Like he listens to people. He's flexible. I mean, but his players, especially guys who have been with him for a long time, including Tom Brady, they go to him, and they're just amazed that some of the things that he tells them, some of the advice that he gives them, the sense of humor that he has. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people just wouldn't expect from him. The other thing is, you know, there are scouts, and Floyd would know this, there are scouts who walk into the building. So when you walk into the Patriots facility in football operations, there's only one way in, and that way in happens to be by Bill Belichick's office. As a matter of fact, the window in his office is looking out onto the player's parking lot. What a view. So if a player comes in, you know, Belichick knows he's coming in. If a scout comes in, Belichick would know that too. Not that he's sitting there looking at the window to see who's there. But there are scouts who go by his office, and he's known for just kind of jumping out of his office and say, hey, can you come here and talk to me for a second about this player from Tennessee, for example, for a college in the University of Tennessee? And the scouts will go in there, and he'll say, hey, what do you think of this guy? And if a scout is a rookie, he thinks that he's being set up for something. Like, okay, I better have the right answer because Belichick is going to jump all over me. But what he's doing is seriously just asking for it. He wants to know what people think. And that just throws people off because he's sitting there, and you know that look he gives you at press conferences, that poker face, you're like, does this guy think I'm the biggest idiot in the world? What is he going to do? Is he about to just eat me up here? But he wants to hear what everybody in football operations has to say. As a matter of fact, he tells the scouts, one of your jobs is to have an opinion. Then your job is not to have my opinion. Your job is to have an opinion. And if you're able to support it and you disagree with me, fine. At least you've got an argument, and I can see your process of how you got to your conclusion. So that's one of the things that makes him successful, and people would never guess that that's his mindset.
Michael Holley with us, WEI in Boston. And Michael, it does look like he has a really good eye for what a player's skills will do translating into what he wants to do. And the example I want to use is Adam Butler from Vanderbilt, a guy that was a really good college player but wasn't drafted, and he's fit in and given them a nice rookie season there. What do you think, how do you perfect that craft over time, being able to find what fits in your system?
Yeah, and I think that's one of his strengths. And he always tells the scouts, don't tell me what a guy can't do, tell me what he can. And I think we can all do that in our line of work. You know, a lot of us, especially in this business, you know, we'll tell you what's wrong. We'll tell you what we don't like, what somebody did wrong. But, okay, what's do they have any discernible skills? If they do, what are they, and how do we fit those into what we're trying to do? So Belichick has always been like that, at least in New England he's been that way. And the other benefit is, I mean, let's face it, if you've been in New England since 2000, you don't really have to worry about job security. You can afford to take the long view. And the owner is not telling you, hey, you better make the playoffs this year or we're going to have to revisit something. The general manager is not making you draft somebody that you don't like. You're the coach. You're essentially the general manager. So you can just think about every aspect of the roster from the top end to the middle class to the special teamers. And he just has a sense of knowing what a guy can do. Hey, all I need you to do is be in there for two downs and two gap for me. You know, stop the run, and then we'll get you off the field on third down. If you can do that for me, you can play on this team. And so he's been doing that for a long time. I think he's actually getting better at it. I know he's talked about not wanting to be like Marv Levy coaching into his 70s, but he's 65 now, and he's still got a pretty good motor. I'd be surprised if he steps away anytime soon because he's just so good at it.
John Robinson, of course, was plucked from the Bill Belichick mold, and Floyd certainly had some influence on that. But why, in your mind, Michael, and I ask Floyd this all the time, I think John Robinson's done a great job so far, hopefully building something that's on the way up and it's going to keep getting better. But why have so few from the Belichick tree, one way or another, been able to replicate what he's done in New England?
Yeah, that's a great question. By the way, John Robinson is a great he is a great addition there in Tennessee. You're very fortunate to have him. But I think it's easier for the team builders to do it than it is for the coaches to do it. I mean, if you look at it, you know, Thomas Dimitroff from the Belichick tree got to the Super Bowl last year, and we know what happened in the Super Bowl. But still, you know, he's done a good job in Atlanta. And then he brought in another Belichick guy, Scott Pioli, as his assistant general manager. So they've had some success together. But if you think about the coaches, there are a lot of things that could go wrong there. For example, Josh McDaniels. So when Josh McDaniels left for Denver, why didn't it work there? Well, number one, he's replacing Mike Shanahan. Number two, he's got more power than anybody else in football at the age of 31, 32 when he took over the job. It was just too much too soon for him. Eric Mangini was trying to be Bill Belichick. That wasn't going to work. You know, Romeo Crennel went to Cleveland. So even if you have some great ideas, you're with an organization that it's really hard to turn around. I think a lot of these guys, if you want to get it right, if you're from the Belichick tree and you want to match a success, I think one, you have to know who you are. You have to know that you're not Bill Belichick. You have to bring your own personality to the table, pick the right organization, and just go from there. But I think a lot of these guys have either tried to be Belichick or have bitten off more than they can chew early in their careers.
Michael, the Patriots may win this game. Heck, they may cruise to victory, just like everybody's predicting. But all I'm asking is, I was up there in January of 2004 covering that game between the Titans and the Patriots. Very, very cold.
Oh, it was
cold,
lovely, wasn't it?
Cold.
What a lovely night that was.
I was in the team hotel the night before in Providence, Rhode Island. Look, just no funny business. Do it on the up and up. Don't pull the alarms at 3 in the morning. Just win the game on the up and up. That's all I ask.
They wouldn't do it in a divisional round, but I can't make any promises for the conference championship if they're privileged enough to win it. I mean, are you predicting a Tennessee win?
No.
Close game?
I mean, you know, look, here's the thing. I didn't think they were going to beat Kansas City, so what the hell do I know?
I think Derrick Henry can run it. I think he can have success, and if he does have a good game, maybe they can hang around. If Mariota can make a few good plays, it's just hard to see them winning. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to see them be competitive. I think maybe they found something last week. The Patriots don't have a great defense. Fair to say, Michael, is maybe not as good as some of their defenses in the past?
Not as good as last year's. Last year's was number one in terms of points allowed. Yeah, I think that Kansas City game last week changed. I mean, when Travis Kelce was healthy, man.
Yeah,
they had no answers for him. He goes out of that game. Now you got Gronk. You got a grown up Kelce. Yeah,
so you tell me Gronk goes down the second quarter, then I'll change my prediction right now.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I'm not even trying to. You know, you can yell at me, whatever. I'm just not even trying to be polite. I don't think it's going to be a close game.
Okay. Well, we shall see. We did enjoy this conversation, though. Thanks for doing it.
I enjoyed it very much, and I just want to throw this out to you. Now, what would your listeners do? More University of Tennessee fans than Vanderbilt fans? I know where Vanderbilt is, but you have more UT fans?
Yeah, bigger fan base. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you think the listeners would be if Tennessee was Alabama, just winning national? You know, you got six national championships and always top 10 recruiting classes and all that stuff. Would they be modest? Would they be humble?
We know the answer.
So that's what it is. That's what it is. That whenever you look at these, you hear Patriots fans and think, oh, goodness, they're so obnoxious. They're so terrible. I think every fan base would be the same way with relative success.
You're absolutely right. Unfortunately, you are 100% correct, and maybe we'll get to have that feeling someday in this market. That would be cool. Hey, thanks for doing
this. Hey, I enjoy talking with you guys. Hey, anytime you want to talk football or anything else, I'm here for you.
We'd love to do it. Michael Hawley, WEEI in Boston. Good chat with him. And we'll come back and wrap up the first hour. Floyd Reese to kick off the second hour. That's next on 102.5 The Game.